Today's gospel makes certain that we know the hierarchy of power and place when John the Baptist first appears. However, unlike the Roman overlords and the Jewish temple authorities that sit upon thrones of marble and gold, John's seat of power is situated in the desert, because the desert is a place of purification and inner scrutiny, a place far away from the machinations of power. And so John stands before the powers of the world as a voice crying out in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And this baptism of repentance is an outer ritual meant to express an inner process. And this inner process is a change from one way of being in the world to another. Borrowing from the language of Isaiah, John sees himself as a construction worker. He is building a highway for the arrival of the Lord. Whatever is an obstacle will be eliminated. If a road is winding, it will be straightened. If it is rough, it will be smoothed. If a mountain is in the way, it will be flattened. And if a valley prevents travel, it will be lifted and leveled. The effect of these images gives us a powerful image of determination. Whatever is needed to prepare the way of the Lord will be done. John is on a mission, and the mission will bring a necessary tension, because the season of Advent is to stand in the tension of two worlds, the world as it is and the world as it should be. Understood this way, tension is necessary as a condition for change. And all great religions advise that there is a necessary degree of tension, a refining question, and a deep choosing of one's true place in the universe that only comes through trial and time. Some religions say that human life must be lived on a razor's edge, that life must not be so comfortable that we lose contact with the struggle. And yet, there must be enough security to sustain us through the trials and tribulations of everyday life. The promise of the kingdom of heaven does not give us everything now, but it gives us just enough to keep us hoping that there is more in this world. That is the razor's edge of faith. And we must stay on the edge, because the edge is where the tension is, where the energy is, where the passion is, and where transformation happens. On this Sunday, two prophets speak of a vision, Isaiah and John the Baptist. They are proclaiming a tension about the world as it is and the world as it should be. And as the story is told from one generation to the next, that this vision will grow from a shoot into a branch, from a branch into a fruit, and from fruit into a person. The one who is to come is the one who will judge the world with justice, especially for the meek and the poor. And everything is shifting towards the fruit of justice, where there is peace, where all adversaries and enemies will become friends. The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the lion and the ox. And transforming this vision into reality will call forth from us a change of mind and heart, a restoring of order, and a healing of wounds. This is the work of John the Baptist and of the Holy Spirit. And it begins with a confession, an acknowledgement of our sin, and a wholehearted turning toward the coming of the Lord. It is a straightening out of the knots and dead ends in the world and in our hearts. An ancient story tells of a monk being threatened by a bandit as he traveled a remote mountain road. The monk had no money to give him, and the bandit informed him that he would then take his life. The monk bowed his head and awaited for the strike of the bandit's sword. But at the last second, the monk requested that his dying wish be granted. The thief said he would grant it if he could. "Please," the monk pleaded, "instead of my head, cut off the branch of that tree," pointing to a great pine. The bandit laughed and said, "Easily done," and he slashed away. "Now," the monk said, "put it back together again." The bandit laughed, and then he saw that the monk was serious. He mocked him and said he was stupid and ignorant because that was impossible. But the monk looked at him and said that he, the thief, was the one who was stupid and ignorant, because it is easy to destroy, to kill, and to take life mindlessly. "What is truly hard in this world," the monk said, "what requires work, imagination, skill, and grace, is to heal, to create, and to restore life." The thief was stopped in his tracks and fell to his knees and asked to become his disciple, to learn this kind of skill and power. Then his long and creative apprenticeship began. This is our task this Advent, to see ourselves alongside Isaiah and John. We are to move into the desert of our souls, where our yearning for a better world becomes our cry in the desert. To leave behind a world of mindless addictions, a world that demands more and more of what does not matter, and apprentice ourselves to things that do matter, things that create, heal, and restore. If you've ever gotten to a point in your life where you had to let go of the world as you know it, then you know what John is speaking of. We cannot welcome a new world until we can let go of the old. And we have lived too long under the illusion that we could have both. How is it we can naively worship this world and say at the same time, "Thy kingdom come"? It seems we can no longer say, "Thy kingdom come," unless we are willing to say, "Thy kingdom go." And what has to go is any world whose power is misused to oppress rather than liberate God's grace. John is announcing a new world, but he is not so much announcing the final end of the world as he is announcing an end to the world of our own making. So what in this world does God want from us? What God doesn't want is our power, our merit, or even our good intentions. What God wants is our hearts. What God wants from you is your life, not your physical life, and not the life that you think is your life. What God wants from you is the life that was given to you from the beginning, the inner life only known to you alone, the life that cannot claim any credit for itself because it was given to you by the grace of God. And our only authentic response is to thank God for it and to meet every moment with a kiss, because every moment in this life was never ours to begin with. It is pure gift. And if we can allow ourselves to fall into the unconditional mercy of God, knowing that the best things that we have ever done had nothing to do with us, but everything to do with God, then forgiveness is possible. And forgiveness is what makes all things new. On the second Sunday of Advent, we must see the world as it is, and then see in ourselves the world as it should be, and pray the Spirit of God to come and rest upon us so that we can bring peace to this earth. For this is a sign for the nations that God's coming and dwelling among us will be glorious to behold, but it must first begin in us.